all right? We should be overflowing so that it manifests out of us. Hallelujah. I think Pastor Moses is right. You know, you go to a rock concert and everybody's all going crazy and nuts, but we get here and we sort of feel like we need to discipline ourselves and worship. That's just not the case. It is. Let it out. Let it out. I tell you, I don't know about you guys, but I look forward to this all week long. It's like worshiping with my family. I tell you, there's just something special about, I have my intimate worship with Jesus. Don't get me wrong. I do. But worshiping with my family is just precious. It is just something special of us lifting up the name of Jesus together. It's like I get full like that. So thank you all for doing that. So one more time, let's just lift up the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We're out of that. I can't get that song in my head. We're out of that grave. It's like, well, how awesome is that? Oh, man. First, I didn't know I was in a grave. Then I went all I was. He brought me out of it, and that was amazing. I guess you can go and start the recording real quick. Let me pray real fast as well, because right now, just today in this place, if there's anything going on, I just felt like the Lord said, if you have something going on in your body right now in the name of Jesus, if you have something that's happening in your mind, just worry, strife, anxiety, anything right now, I'm just going to release that and tell it to go in the name of Jesus. So right now we just speak over every person in this place, that no matter what the ailment is, no matter what it is, whether it is actually through the mind or if it's through the body, right now we just release that to you, Jesus Christ, because you know that it's already been paid and purchased for right now. So that's all gone right now in the name of Jesus. No more fear, no more anxiety. No more pain. Anything that's going on is gone right now in the name of Jesus. Done. All right, now we can get to it. All right. So I guess I just seeking after what I always do. I was seeking after what the Lord was. And I was like, well, Lord, what do you want me to teach on? And he's just like, the first time I've ever had this, he's like, what do you want to teach on? And I'm like, oh, okay. And I said, I'm not really sure. He's like, well, it's like, what's really kind of impacted you? And I said, well, I did go to Karis Bible College and I started thinking about that, you know, like I had to go really kind of deep in it because, you know, you're caught off guard sometimes by God asking you a question and you're just like, okay, well, let me think about it. And I decided, well, you know, there's my life verse that I got from Karis. I don't know if anybody has a life verse, you know, anything like that. But, I mean, all the Bible is my life verse. But there's, you know, that one verse where it's like, okay, if I had to get rid of the whole book and just keep this one verse, it would be okay. I could just stand on that one thing. So I decided I'm just going to share that with you today and see where the Lord takes us. And what's great, what I realize is if there is something that's impacted you, keep going back to it. I haven't been diligent with this. And the moment I started going back with it a couple weeks ago, the Lord has just been revealing more and more. It's never ending. The depth of the word, it just goes further and further and further and further. There's always something else new to glean. Even from which things that you think you understand, there's more. I think that's awesome. So my verse is 2 Peter 1:3. So let's just go to 2 Peter real quick, and I'm going to read that through. We're just going to preach on the first three verses. But just rest assured, I could teach on these verses pretty much all year. But I'm just going to read through it real quick, and I'll just kind of give you a few highlights of why it impacted me. And then we'll kind of go right into it and kind of dissect it today and see what we can get out of it. Because how many know that, like, who's doing their Bible reading? I'm not trying to, like, point hands or call commendation. Who's doing their Bible readings? Okay. How many know that you're not doing the Bible reading because you're trying to fulfill some kind of, like, requirement or homework? You're reading the Bible to find burning bushes. Find Jesus. Everybody knows what that is? Because, you know, Jesus, at one point, they said, you know, Jesus said to them, you search the scriptures to find eternal life. You don't realize it's kind of about me, right? And what I mean by also like burning bushes is the fact that it was like when Moses turned aside to this curious thing, like he was led into the presence of God, right? So he actually like was able to literally bring the Israelites out of Egypt. So what I'm saying is when you're going through the word, look, make sure you want to take that moment that says, well, that's kind of curious. It may seem kind of like just interesting at the moment, but turn aside and look and let Holy Spirit lead you because he's going to lead you into the truth of who he is. Of who Jesus is in that moment. And then this stuff becomes something revelationary in our lives. It actually changes you. Yes. Right? That's how it works. So when you're going into the Word, don't take it for granted. You can get freedom from one word out of the Bible. right? That's what's amazing about it, is that it's, and everybody has different burning bushes, right? As you're going through the Word, because the Lord's making us as we go. And we're coming into His Word, we're encountering Him in the Word, and the Holy Spirit's leading us into the truth of who Jesus Christ is and who we are. So I just to put that out there, because to me, you can't, I mean, everybody go, you got to read the Bible and do this. I have a hard time doing that because I have to. But when I realize I'm on a treasure hunt for Jesus in the Bible, then it becomes really exciting, right? Because what is it? Proverbs 25, is it 25:2 says, it's the glory of God to conceal a matter, and it's the glory of kings to search it out. How many know that God has put secreted burning bushes inside the Word for you to go deep into that's going to transform you, right? That's exciting. Because then it's just like, oh, I got to do my chapters today. It's like, oh my goodness, what's hidden in there today for me? Yeah. Right? I can't do it because I have to. I have to do it because I got to see a good reason. And oh my goodness, it's so I can know you more. And then He's going to transform me through this. That's a good reason. All right? So, anywho, 1 Peter 1:1-3. Excuse me, 2 Peter 1, verses 1-3. Let's just read this through, and then we'll go back and kind of just dissect it as we will. But it says, Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you, and the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. And this is my verse, as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who has called us by glory and virtue. Now, that sounds kind of interesting and wordy. And when I heard, I can remember the day I was actually in Charis Bible College, and I was like sitting there. I think it was Andrew teaching. I don't even remember what the lesson was. I just remember that that verse went, and I was like, impacted by it, and I'm like, why are they still going? Why aren't we stopping like right here? And I'm like, we should be stopping right here and talking about this. I was like, it's like wanting to stop the class. I said, wait, pause the video. What happened here? It was like, it was like a burning bonfire nuclear thing went off. I was like, if this is true, this changes everything for me. It changes everything. I was like, this has got everything. One verse. He's telling us everything that He's given us. He's telling us the reason why He's given us. He's telling us our destination to why we are going to this thing. And He's telling us how we receive it. All in this one verse. And I'm like, why are we still going? Why is He still teaching? He needs to stop right here. We need to stop. So that really impacted me. And I've been searching out this scripture for a long time. And how many of you can sit in one scripture forever and just unpack it? But I'm telling you, this is my verse because I could stand on this thing. I could pretty much preach the entire gospel out of this one verse. Everything. And that's how powerful it is to me. But I want to kind of like dissect it a little bit for you. Starting with the very first, if you want to go back to 2 Peter 1:1. Because a lot of times we gloss over some things and not really take into account what's going on. The introduction that a lot of times that they're doing here is they're trying to give you a perspective to see from that's going to like really dictate the rest of 2 Peter. What 2 Peter does in the first two verses here is really going to impact how you see the rest of the entire book of 2 Peter, right? And I thought it was curious because in 2 Peter 1:1, he says, Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm just going to stop right there because a lot of times the apostles would have their own like little introduction, you know, they would say salutation or something like that they would say to everyone. And if you go to 1 Peter 1, he says something similar, but he just says, an apostle of Jesus to these saints, these awesome saints. And then he says, grace and peace be multiplied. And that's 1 Peter 1:1, he says that. And I started thinking, well, why does he change it here? Because he doesn't just say Simon Peter, an apostle. He says Simon Peter, a bondservant and an apostle. Right? That's different. And not only that, we'll see in a second, he also says grace and peace be multiplied you through the knowledge of Him. He changed it. And a lot of times, if you know 2 Peter, he was getting on to the end of his life, and he was kind of like, okay, my time is short. You got to get this. You've got to understand this because I've got to have an assurance that you're going to understand what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ, all right, when I'm gone. And so he illuminates it even more. So I asked the Lord about this. I said, Lord, why does he say Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ. And of course, I don't know why he did it the same thing. He's like, well, what do you think? And I'm like, all right. And so I looked into it a little bit. And if you think about it, that word bondservant literally means, it doesn't mean somebody who has to be a servant involuntarily. You can be a servant voluntarily as well, right? And it means one who gives himself up to another's will, devoted to another to the disregard of one's own interest. In other words, what he's saying here is that as an apostle, Jesus chose Simon Peter to be an apostle, right? Peter didn't choose that. Jesus chose that. But Peter chose to be a bondservant. That was his choice. That was his response to his call. So in other words, Jesus chose Peter, and then Peter turned around and chose him. That's what it was. I think that's key to understanding the rest of 2 Peter, that it's like when we're called by God, we have to first understand that we have to choose him too. And we're not talking about just a little bit. We're talking about all in. We're talking about to the disregard of our own will and interest for his. That is key. That is essential, right, to our walk. If you want to be successful in walking with Jesus Christ, you have to be all in. You have to be. All right? The reason why is because what happens is his will and his interests, trust me, are really the ones you want. They're really the ones you want. And Simon Peter understood this. That's why I think he illuminated that. He says, you know what? I'm not just an apostle called by him. I chose to be a bondservant to disregard any of my will and my interests for the sake of him. He's my will. He's my interest. He's my desire. All right? I think that's essential for understanding the rest of this. Then he goes on to say, to those who obtain like precious faith, right, with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, this is important because that like precious faith is talking about a faith that's been given gratuitously, right? That's what he's talking about. He said, those who obtain, that word obtain actually doesn't just mean like, okay, I just reach out and grab. It's talking about something that's been given like with a lot of measure, like gratuitously is what that actually means. And what he's trying to say here, what I believe he's trying to say is, this isn't just me, this is all of you too. It's the same faith that I have is the same faith that's been given to you. In other words, it's just not me, it's you too. We're all on an equal plane here. In other words, everything that I've gotten and received from the Lord, everything that I'm walking through with him, you know what, and the power of his righteousness, you can too. He's leveling the playing field here and not saying, you know what, just because I'm an apostle doesn't put me on this pedestal, because it was all about his faith that I've received. It's the same precious faith you have as well. That's important. Because then we realize you don't have to be called to be an apostle to be all in with Jesus Christ. Right? Doesn't matter what your calling is. We can be a bondservant and disregard our own will because we have the same exact faith as Peter did. Anything he walked through, I can walk through by the faith of Jesus Christ. Anything he accomplished, I can accomplish. Right? Are we good? Everybody's good? Amen? No one? Okay. All right. We get understanding that? Then he goes on to say, how? By the righteousness of our God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. That's, how powerful is that? It's not by our will, not by our power, but what Jesus Christ accomplished on the cross. Right? And that righteousness, I don't know if you really look into that. That righteousness, yes, it means right standing with God, but it also means also like a condition of being. It's like you're literally the condition of the being of the person he were created to be. Right? So that when Jesus Christ illuminated that, and now we are now what? The righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He who knew no sin took on sin, so that what? We could become into the exact same representation, that exact same condition of being and right standing with the Father that Jesus enjoys. This isn't just for Peter. He's like, you've got to understand this. You've got to understand that you have to be all in, that you have the same faith as I do, and that you're a new thing. You are actually the exact representation of Jesus Christ is through his righteousness and what he's accomplished for you. Get it? You see how this is a huge deal when you're starting off, because you got to have this perspective to read the rest of it. Right? And I think that's awesome, because when you get that perspective on it, then you start saying, okay, wait a second. Really, I'm kind of out of excuses. Right? Okay? It's not like I used to think that. Well, they had something more than I have. No, they didn't. Paul and Peter had nothing more. They didn't have anything different from what we have. They have exact same things that Jesus Christ doesn't put in stuff, the exact same thing he put in them. Right? I know that's hard to grasp around because a lot of times we put people on pedestals, but the only person on a pedestal is him, Jesus Christ. That's it. All right? Oh, let me get a drink of water here. So now we're going to go to this next verse. Well, actually, let's stop right there on the righteousness because I think it's important. Let's go to Romans 5:21. Because it's kind of hard to go to the next verse about grace if you don't really believe in your righteousness. And Romans 5:21 says, so that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign, how? Through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Right? So at one point we were bondage to sin by death, by this understanding of death, if we will. Now we're not, right? We're free from that, right? So sin has no more hold over us. It's been taken care of through the cross, right? So now grace reigns through righteousness. In other words, the more you see and understand your righteousness, the more grace is going to abound in your life. If you can't see the fact that it's like your righteousness in him and Christ Jesus, then grace can't have an effect in you. It can't reign in your life. Do we understand that? If we're not seeing ourselves in the new creation reality of what he's created us, then grace has no effect. The transforming power of grace in our lives. Anybody agree with me on that? We're good? Because grace is this transforming power and influence that he's provided for us through salvation. But salvation isn't just going to heaven one day. It's a transforming power of us becoming like him as well. Right? It's him beginning a good work in us, right? And seeing it to the end by grace. So the more that we allow righteousness and we believe in that, well, the Holy Spirit to witness us and show us the truth of what this is, grace is going to continue to grow and continue to manifest and continue to grow in us. In fact, and we see that in the next verse in 2 Peter 1, 2. If you guys want to go back there, just keep your finger on 2 Peter. It says, grace and peace now he's talking about righteousness, grace and peace be multiplied to you. That means you can have more of it. Grace and peace be multiplied you. How? In the knowledge of God and Jesus Christ our Lord. So what he's saying is that this grace, that's transforming power of the Holy Spirit and what we have in relationship with him, right? Through the understanding of our connection with God and the fact of who we are now with him, this grace is now transforming us from the inside out. And not only that, but now we have peace begins to be multiplied. I call it a relational atmosphere. That's what I call it. I think that's what peace is. It's a relational atmosphere. Because when you come into the presence of God, peace is there. And he's saying you can get that multiplied in your life. He's saying that you can walk in perfect peace in every moment of every day. Amen. Through a relational atmosphere of Jesus Christ. Because grace is reigning. Right? Are we getting this? This is powerful. Because then what happens is peace, what happens is it now becomes a guide for us as well as we walk. Right? Because a lot of times, if you've noticed, like if you've understood any of this, you go into a situation you don't have a peace about, and your relationship with God is something like, I'm not so sure about that. It's guiding me as I walk. It's not fear. It's peace. And we can literally walk that way, and that's what I want. I want to be able to walk that way where I'm guided by my relationship with Jesus Christ, where I'm just guided to and fro. No, Lord, I'm not comfortable with that. Is that what's happening there? And I'm like, you know what? I don't have a peace about that. I'm going to go this way, right? Because how many know there's so many decisions we make every day. They're in the gray area. It's not right or wrong we're looking at, right? It's all about life. And I want to make sure I'm doing things based upon life. Is this bringing life to me, Jesus Christ? I'm like, that's not bringing me life. I'm going to go over here. This will bring me life. I have a peace about it. I'm going over here. Do you see how important this is? This is how we walk. And this thing can be multiplied in our lives. That's amazing. I don't have to be satisfied with what I have. I can have more. That's awesome. Then he says, but how? He says, in the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this is where we're going to get kind of interesting. Because the word here for knowledge, and he says it once more in verse 3, the word for knowledge is called epignosis. Now, there's some different words that they use in the Hebrew language for knowledge. They use gnoski, they use epignosis, they use eido, which means to see. And so there's a difference in those. In fact, I love it because this really shows it. Gnoski is to encounter him, right? Epignosis is to know him, because with it comes wisdom. So epignosis, it's like, I'll give you an example. In Philippians, when Paul sits there and says, you know, all this stuff, I was the top of the line, I had the greatest education, I had all this stuff, yet I count it dung compared to knowing him. Do you know what word he used? He actually used gnoski. Do you know why? Because he said, all the world can offer is worthless compared to just encountering him, just him being on my radar. Just for the fact that I could get a glimpse of him is greater than anything the world has to offer. He was trying to highlight the fact that knowing Jesus is the most important thing in the world, so he used the lesser word to compare it to the world. You see what I'm saying? He used gnoski to say, just to get a glimpse of him, just to get an encounter with him, is worth more than anything the world, any rich, any knowledge, any understanding the world has to offer, is nothing compared to that. I think that's awesome. I didn't even realize that until God showed it to me, because I was like, well, Lord, shouldn't he use epignosis in this moment? And he's like, no, he was showing you just what a glimpse of me is worth. Just a glimpse. I think that's awesome. So this epignosis we have is a little bit different. It means correct knowledge, accurate knowledge. It comes on the other side of intimacy, right? It comes to the point that it's like, you know the nuances of the person. You know the inflections of their voice, right? The characters of their likes and dislikes. That's what epignosis is. That's what he's talking about. And so what he's saying here is grace and peace is multiplied through this absolute relational understanding of Jesus Christ with you, where we can see the gaze in his eyes. We can know the nuances of his voice. That's awesome, because it means we can have it. It means he reveals so much to us that we can know the character of his being and who he is in our lives, that we don't have to be satisfied with just an encounter now and then, but an actually deep knowing of him that goes beyond that. It's on the other side of intimacy, right? And through that, everything functions. Grace and peace is multiplied. That's beautiful. So in other words, I think that the idea here is get to know him as well as you possibly can. Yes. Sitting with him, reading the word, following the burning bushes, right? I think that's key. All right, let's go. All right, I'm getting a little worked up here. Actually, let's go to Ephesians 1:17 real fast. And I'm going to show you a beautiful verse that kind of illuminates this and shows you what's on the other side when we get to this epignosis. If I can get to it, here it is. Ephesians 1:17. Where am I at? Here we go. And this is talking about how he's mentioning in his prayers, and he says, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. How? In the epignosis of him. So you do know what comes in this relational aspect of Jesus Christ on the other side of intimacy? Wisdom and revelation. That's, do you understand how important revelation? Revelation isn't just knowing and hear. It's a transformative understanding that changes the way you see. In fact, let's take a look at what that next verse says in there. It says that in 18, how? Through this epignosis, right, the eyes of your understanding right? It's Edo, which is another type. It's actually a seeing understanding, seeing knowledge, understanding being coming enlightened, that may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. He's saying that through you have this spirit of wisdom of revelation that comes through knowing him so correctly and accurately that you begin to see, changes the way you see things. And when you change the way you see things, right, it changes everything about you. It changes how you act. It changes your attitude. It changes the way you do everything. It changes the words you say. It changes everything. Faith isn't just believing. It's perspective of the truth. And what he's saying is through this, what happens is your eyes begin to see this understanding and it becomes so revelation in your heart, no one can take it from you. No one can convince you otherwise because it's how you see. You understand? Like, you can't convince me that God doesn't love me. Sorry, you can try. All right? You can't convince me that healing isn't for today. I'm sorry. I already see the truth of that. Right? That's already revelation in my heart. Right? And that's what we're talking about here is like getting to the point where you're so intimate with him and he will guide you into these truths, right? Holy Spirit will, so that it's not just knowing here, it becomes a revelation of the heart that changes the way you see. And that's through him, knowing him, right? That's awesome. All right, let's 2 Peter 1:3. Let's kind of dissect this verse and let me get my watch here so I don't go too crazy here. Well, actually, let me do one thing real quick. And this is where I was before I came to Charis. I don't know if you guys know the verse 2 Timothy 3:7. It says, ever learning, but never coming to an understanding. That's where I was. I remember somebody telling me a long time ago, you have to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and your mind, right? And I'm like, okay, great. That means I need to study everything that I can and do everything I can to get to know him. It's really even get to know him. It's getting to know about him, right? It's like reading a biography of a person, but not walking with that person. And I remember doing that. I remember like just, I did everything. I was reading all kinds of like books. I'd be asking professors like, hey, what would you recommend? And I'm like getting these books. I'm reading them as intently as I can. And you know what happened? I became prideful. That's what happened. I thought I had it right. I thought that I was correct, right? I knew what was going on because I was puffed up with what I thought I knew, but it was just up here, right? I was ever learning, but I never understood. And it wasn't until the fact that I came to Charis and I saw some things and I finally understood and I was impacted by a burning bush that changed everything and realized how wrong I really was, you know? So I just want to put that out there, that we can get puffed up in our knowledge. And it's so important to remain humble. Because I'm telling you, there's areas in every person's life that you don't get it yet. You don't quite understand it. You don't understand it, right? But it doesn't mean you won't. I remember going in, when I was in Charis, I remember missing it so much. I was like, from day one, because I went in there, I'm like equipped, right? I'm like, yeah, see what this Bible college is all about. See what this Andrew Womack knows. And I just remember from day one, it was like getting just slugged back and forth. It's like, oh man. But I remember this. I couldn't use the old way. I started studying the scripture, what they were talking about, intent with it, and I got nothing. And I got so frustrated. I really did. I got so frustrated because I don't understand. I see where I miss it. Okay, God, I see it. I see I missed it here, and I see I've missed it here. You got to give me the real answer because I feel like I don't feel any different. If nothing's different. And that's what he told me. He says, you got to stop. He said, it's not about you trying to get it. It's about you already having it. And that's what impacted me. And what happened was I realized that I was using God as like a library rather than a friend. And so what I did instead was I said, Lord, from now on, you're the teacher. From now on, you're the potter. And I said, I'm just going to go to you, and I'll let you build me. And and that's what I did. I put it all away. And you tell you how hard it was, because the devil fights you on that and tries to make you think you're not being diligent. Anybody been there? Well, you're not doing your due diligence. You need to study to make yourself approved. In the name of Jesus. Your diligence comes with being with him.
Amen.
Right? Because from that, you'll want to know more of him. You will go to the Word. You will spend time in worship and prayer because he's there, right? And that's what I started doing, and revelation became easy because it wasn't me trying to get something that I didn't already have. It was just Holy Spirit downloading what was already in me, right? It's like I plugged my USB in right into my heart, and it just flooded up. So what I'm trying to say for this is for everyone here, right? If you're trying hard to fix yourself, stop it. Right? Just go there, realize he's the potter, he's the teacher, and he will, it's promised, lead you into all truth. Right? Don't get frustrated if it's not today, because he knows how to build you more than you know yourself. And he honestly knows what you need more than you know yourself as well. He knows what revelation is going to impact you and change your life. Right? You've got to trust him in that. And not go to the scripture and say, I'm really struggling with this. You go to him and say, Lord, I'm struggling with this. What's next? And let him lead you and be patient with it. Because sometimes it's not right away because he doesn't want it. Sometimes he doesn't want it right away for you. Sometimes he wants you to be with him because then that's the healing. He's healing you before you can hear it. Right? He really is. And that's a struggle because we want instant, quick oats kind of gospel. Where we can microwave it for 3 minutes and rather than taking a few months. And that's not how it works because it's about the relationship. It's not about the fixing. He'll take care of it. He promised it. He wants you to be with him. All right, anyhow, I'm getting preachy. I guess that's okay being up here. Anyway, all right, well, let's go to 2 Peter 1:3. And we'll dive into my verse here. All right. Okay, man. Whew. As his divine power... Wow. All right. That's just good stuff right there. So dunamis power of God. All right. There's nothing like it. It's pretty much all encompassing and the devil can't touch it. So it's his divine power now, not yours, not the world's. His divine power has accomplished this, right? Has given to us all things. Everybody say all things. Right. So it's not like one thing or two things. It's all things that pertain. This is interesting because this is the boundary here, right? To life and godliness. He's not going to give you knowledge to learn how to sin better. Okay? He's not going to give you knowledge to try to figure out how to do things that are not according to what these two things are, which is life and godliness. So it's kind of understanding to like see what life and godliness is because it's more encompassing than you think. A lot of times we're trying to figure out certain things. Not saying he won't guide us into jobs or stuff like this, but he wants you to understand life. He wants you to understand godliness. All these things are life and godliness so that you're going into the job based upon life and godliness rather than just trying to make a paycheck. Does that make sense? And he'll actually guide to you into these certain situations based more on just the paycheck. He's going to guide you based upon how you can even give life. Or how you can walk in more godliness in those situations. Does that make sense? All right. So there's something deeper here than just a superficial all things. It's something deeper that goes to the core of us that branches out to the rest of us. Does that make sense? So what is life and godliness? The life, of course, we can see that. We don't have to turn there, but John 10:10, Jesus Christ has come to give us life and life more abundantly. It's not even just like, it's the Zoe life of God. It's the very life that he enjoys. It's the very life that stems from the Father, right? I mean, this is life. We like to think life is just existence, but life is more than just existing. It's the life of God. And now you're connected to it completely to the point where it radiates in every part of your being. Where even it talks about Romans 8, where it talks about even the Holy Spirit quickens your flesh. That's how far it radiates. It just radiates from inner all the way out. Right? This is the life of God where everything's included in it. Right? Your prosperity, your healing, everything's included in this life because God doesn't get sick and God doesn't worry about wealth and God doesn't worry about these things. So that's included in this life. We understand that? So this isn't just like, okay, I'm going to live for a few more years. No, this is an eternal life that's enjoyable with him. that's greater than what you can imagine. It's life more abundantly. So let your imaginations go wild, because it's greater than that. And a lot of times we make it about getting things, but it's not about getting things. It's about enjoying Him, right? Because when we get to enjoy Him, the things don't matter. In fact, everything we have becomes for Him rather than for us. And then what happens is we begin to actually live the way we always wanted to live, selflessly, through that, enjoying that life with Him, right? That's awesome. So that's the Zoe life of God that we're called to, and He's given us all things to have it. All things to have that. And then He says godliness. I was reading about godliness because it's a very, like, interesting word. It's very hard sometimes to kind of navigate and really define. So one person defined it as devotion in action. He talked about it actually being kind of like devotion in action. I think that's a really interesting thing, because I do believe that godliness impacts every decision and everything you do every day, right? Go with me, actually, go with me to 1 Timothy 3:15 and 16. And this is kind of a cool verse I found, which will give us a glimpse of what it's about. So 1 Timothy 3:15 says, but if I am delayed, and he's kind of like talking about like the qualifications. He's talking about like essentially the behavior of the church, behavior of people in the church. He's talking about the qualifications of like overseers and stuff like that. It's kind of like how we should be acting in a lot of ways. He says, but if I am delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. And then he goes on to, God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up in glory. Now this actually, like, history shows and actually like tradition shows that this actually was a song or hymn that they used to actually like speak out all the time. They used to sing this out a lot. So it seems like godliness, the mystery of godliness, is about this person who they're talking about, which was this person who was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up in the glory. So the mystery of godliness revolves around Jesus Christ. So what is it about Jesus Christ? Well, we know that the mystery is Christ in us, the hope of glory. So this whole point of godliness, I think, becomes to the point where you realize that you have a roommate inside of you who's always with you and never leaves or forsakes you, right? That's Jesus. He's inside of us, never leaves or forsakes us. It's a Christ in us, the hope of glory. And so when you start to realize that you have a roommate, you start living as if you're together rather than you're by yourself. Does that make sense? I asked the Lord about this, and I said, give me an example of this, because it's really hard to explain. And you know what He showed me? He said, you know, Jeremy, every day I walk with you, even when you don't realize it. I'm with you. And everything that you are in, everything you walk through, I participate in. Whether it's good or bad. Whether it's good or bad, He participates in it with me. He says, you know what godliness is? He says, when you discover what my likes or dislikes are, and you start participating in those. That's what godliness is. That's what He told me. Because every day, He does participate in the things we do, whether it's good or not. Even Paul just, you know, talks about this in Corinthians. Says some of the things we do shouldn't be, because you are bought with a price and you're the indwelling of God. You're the temple of God, right? I'm not saying that condemnating, but I'm just like condemnation-wise. But I'm just trying to tell you that it's like God indwells you. That's a fact. That's non-negotiable. He indwells. If you have received Jesus Christ as your personal flavor, as your personal Savior, He's kind of a flavor too, I guess. But personal Savior, then it's like you are indwelled by the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Okay? That's it. And everything you do, He participates in it with you, because He never leaves you or forsakes you. Godliness is finding Him on such a level that you learn what He likes and dislikes, and you participate with Him. Right? So when you're going to work, it's not you just trying to figure out how to make it work today for Him. You say, Lord, what do you want to do today with work? And then you participate in that. And I guarantee you it's a better day than your day. Guaranteed. So it's inviting Him in, right? And in His presence and this consciousness of God throughout the day, we're walking with Him because we realize He's in us. I really think that's godliness, right? So we're called. Now we have everything to be able to do that. All things pertaining to life and godliness. We have everything we need, so there's no excuse. We have everything we need to actually walk in that life and in that godliness, all right? Then he goes on to say in 1 Peter 1, 3, everybody put their finger there. How's this done again? Through the epignosis, knowledge of him who has called us by glory and virtue, or has called us to glory and virtue. So it's through this understanding and knowledge that comes on the other side of intimacy, right? This exact knowledge of Christ, that we're going to start getting this revelation in our lives that we're going to be able to walk this out. Through this relationship with him, we're going to be able to walk it out, because these revelations are going to start transforming us from the inside out. So we're going to start seeing more grace, more peace being multiplied in our lives. We're going to be able to, the things that are stuck inside of us that we already have are going to start coming out and manifesting through us. Right? That's how it works. We're like, Lord, we want it now, and we want like a lightning bolt. But the thing about it is, it's already in you. And through our relationship with him and through the Holy Spirit and getting to know that, it starts to come out because we start to let him be actually Lord of our lives. And we start allowing him to transform us through that grace and the walking in peace. And we allow this relationship with him, and this godliness starts to overcome us to the point where we start walking like him. Amen. Right? And that comes through that epignosis, that exact knowing of him. Right? And it says, so he's called us, he's invited us by name. It literally says that word for call, it literally means to call aloud by name or title. He's got a name for you and a title, and he's calling you for the truth of who you are. And he's calling you into this. And he's saying, this is what it's for, virtue and glory. This is what I'm calling you to, virtue and glory. Right? So it's important that we know these two things. And virtue is a very interesting word. I looked it up and looked at it for a while. It's called, the word is actually arete. There's actually a mythological Greek goddess named after that. But even the philosophers, Socrates and stuff like that, had a hard time defining what this word really means for virtue. Because some people are like, it's just moral character. But it's not just that. It's something more, is what they were saying. They would say that, like, A soldier, for instance, would have arete when they would like accomplish the highest level of what a soldiering was. They would be arete, right? In other words, we're talking about valor and courage and whatever you have to do to be a soldier. The highest peak of what it means to be a soldier, that person is the epitome of a soldier. They're arete. That's what they would call it. So it didn't matter what the position was. It didn't matter what you did, right? It was the state of being of the person, the character of the person that was arete. In other words, what I think what Jesus is saying here, he's saying he's called us to become the very thing he always created us to be, the highest level what we were created to be, our arete. He's like, I'm giving you everything so that you don't just walk like halfway of what you were called to be. I'm getting to the point where you're called to the highest level what you were created to become. The highest level. Right? With the moral character, the aptitude, everything. Because that word also means valor. It means this ability to stand. It means this ability to have courage and to stand by becoming something, by being something. A soldier is able to do that because he understood what they were. They understood that they had a job to do. That's what he's called us unto, arete. And then, glory. Well, that would be great if we were called to arete and it was on our own strength and our own stuff, but he's called us to his glory, his highest level of creation, his highest level of who we are, right? That's what he's called us to not just become and have the glory of God, but to manifest the glory of God. Right? The highest level of what we are is a person who absolutely manifests who he is to the world with every aspect of our being. That's what we're called to. Go with me to John. There's a couple verses in John. John 17. And there's two verses I want to pull out from that, because this is, of course, Jesus and the Father. John 17:10. And I think this is interesting. I kind of skipped over this before, and I was like, Lord, I just now seeing this. And he says, and all mine are yours, talking to the Father, and yours are mine. So I feel like okay, Lord, yours is mine and mine's yours. I feel like we're literally gotten. Like, there's no way around it. It's like, Jesus has got us. The Father's got us. Okay, we're gotten. And it says, and I am glorified in them. He says, they belong to me, and yours belong to me, and mine belong to yours. And you know what? I'm going to be glorified in them. That's what he said. That he's going to be glorified in us. And then he goes on, let's go down a couple verses to 17:22. And he's going to tell us how we're going to kind of accomplish that. And he says, and the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one as we are one. So he didn't leave it up to us to get glory. He gave it to us to glorify him. Do you see? He put it inside of us to glorify him. And glory, there's a lot of definitions out there, but think about this. Glory, you know, the first definition you see, it says opinion, estimation, judgment, and value. Doxa. In other words, he put in us the very value of who he is, yeah, and the opinion of what the Father thinks of him, and the judgment that the Father gave to him. The estimation of who he is inside of us. And not only that, it's not just inside of us, it's who we are. The same value that Jesus Christ has, we have. The same opinion that the Father has over Jesus, we have. Not because I did anything, he gave it to me. And he wants me to show the whole world how valuable they are too. How the Father sees them. How are they going to know? That's what we're called to. This whole thing is not just about us. Right? Because he loves them too. And we have everything to accomplish this. Who's going to rise to this occasion of becoming the person that God's called them to be so the world can see that's me too? Amen. We have everything we have to accomplish this. Everything. He's given it all. He has held nothing back from that. And it's not even like, and I wanted us to get this through this as well. It's not even in bits and pieces, right? A lot of times we think, well, he's put healing in us, and he's put prosperity in us, and he's put wholeness in us. He put himself in us, and that's everything. He's everything. You can't dissect like the promises of God and God himself because it's all in Christ. Right? So the great thing about that is the very person who said he'll never leave or forsake you, he's indwelling inside of you, means everything else is inside of you as well. Every inheritance, every benefit, everything. That's key to understanding. That, you see how that changes the way you do things? You see how that changes the way you see things? Because if this is true, shouldn't your prayer change? Shouldn't you be praying differently? Should I be praying, Lord God or Holy Spirit, please come descend onto this place and come be with us because we're trying to invite you to this place? Or do we say, thank you, Holy Spirit, for being here with us today? Amen. Do I sit there and I lay on and say, Jesus Christ, please heal this person in your name? We know you want him healed. Or do we say, by God, Jesus, you've healed this person in the name of Jesus Christ. You've healed him by the price you paid on the cross. This person's healed in the name of Jesus. Amen. Yeah. You see the difference? If this is true and it's all inside of us, why are we praying to try to get it? Declarations take on a different meaning because we're not declaring from a position of lack. We're declaring from a position of victory. Do you see how that changes the way you think? We've got to see this. We've got to understand this. Because if we're not doing it this way and understanding it, then what we're trying to say is the Lord has not given us everything. He hasn't accomplished enough. And then what kind of father is that? Right? When he said very specifically in the word that he's given us all things, but not only that, but it's like, what kind of a person doesn't give to their kids when needed? He didn't leave it to chance. He didn't leave you to beg. He put it all inside of you so you could declare it and absolutely live in it. Yeah. Right? Let's go to a couple of verses to talk about this. Go with me to, let me see here. Oh, what time I got? Okay, I got a boogie. Go to Mark, let me see, which one I want to do. I don't think I can do all of them. Go to Mark 11. And this is verse 23 and 24. And have you probably heard this before? You probably read Andrew's thing about you've already got it or something like that. It's a great book. But Mark 11, 23-4 says, "For surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them." That was that side of the cross. He's telling them, like, listen, you have to understand what you already have and declare it before you even start praying. You got to know this. There's an attitude of the heart. You have to understand. Philippians 4:6 says, with prayer and supplication, with thankfulness. How can you be thankful of something you don't have? You know how you get a thankful heart? Because you realize he's already put everything inside of you, and you're like, man, this is awesome, Lord. This is what's going to happen today. I declare it. And then it goes on to say, and then the peace that passes all understanding will guard your heart. Why? Because you're not lacking anything. You know that what he said is already accomplished has to come true because it's already true. Yeah. We're just trying to get it from here out. That's it. That's it. And that just comes through relationship with Jesus. It's just that simple. But it's already finished. It's already accomplished. We have everything we already need. Already inside of us. And so I go with prayer with Jesus. I'm not like, Lord, God, I so desperately need peace today. I'm like, Lord, thank you so much that I have peace in my life. Thank you so much, Lord, that just in you, there's nothing but peace. You're the shalom I need today. Thank you so much, Lord, for providing everything for me. Do you see how that changes? Amen. How many, I mean, I think Andrew says, I think God's scratching his head up here. I could have sworn we put that already in him. They're over there asking me for healing, and Jesus is like, I don't know, I finished. Right? You don't have to move God. He already moved. Amen.
That's right.
Don't waste so much energy trying to convince him you need something. Start declaring it based on the truth. He's concerned about your life and godliness. That's why he already put it inside of you so that you could have it. And the only thing we do is through relationship is draw it out and start to live in it, even by his power, right? I mean, I don't want to make it more complicated than that because that's really just how simple it is, right? That's our perspective changes. And I just put in here, you know, are we praying from a place of victory, right? Are we praying from a place of victory? Because things get dark, and I understand it, but what's happening is you're letting the circumstance scream louder than the word is what's happening. And then at that point, you're really questioning the Father's heart. Well, Lord, I need you to come through with this. He's like, I already did. Already came through. What a great play. What a great understanding to have to realize that I'm not wrestling with God to try to get the things that I need in my life, right, to walk in the victory that he's called me to walk. All I have to do is declare them by the truth of the word and allow the Holy Spirit to witness and become revelation in my life. Right? Because I'm telling you, trying to get something from God from a place of lack will keep you from revelation. It will, because it's based on fear. Love doesn't hold back. Right? And it says that if it says in Romans 8, if God gave us Jesus, how can he not already give us all things? I mean, he's given us Jesus. Everything is included in him. We've got to get this perspective and understanding that it's like when we go to him in prayer, it's not about trying to get something from him. It's about declaring what's already done. Because that way you're going to draw your authority to speak to the mountain and say, be moved in the name of Jesus, because he's already said, because he already accomplished it for you. I mean, you would, if I paid for a dinner for you, you wouldn't go out there and eat dinner and pay twice. Pay again, right? That's healing. Why would you sit there trying to beg and try to figure out healing and stuff like this and try to work it up when you just declare the truth of what the word's already said? You, by his stripes, you were healed. Don't pay again for something that's already been paid. That doesn't make sense. Trust me, he paid it all with a good price. He probably paid double, and that's a good tip. Right? So now we're talking about even like a... Go with me to Philemon. Philemon. It says 1:6, but I think it's just 6, right? So I want you to see this verse, and I'll be ending this real quickly here. says that the sharing of your faith may become effectual, means to become active, actually, right? By the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Do you know what that word acknowledgement is? Epignosis. That's what that word is. It says the sharing of your faith might become effective, right? Become active, right? In other words, the communication, the ability to actually walking in faith and to becoming effective in your life is by the acknowledgement, the epignosis of every good thing which you have in Christ Jesus. You knew, by you knowing with certainty everything he's put inside of you. Your faith is active. Through this revelationary knowledge that the Holy Spirit guides you into, all of a sudden, your faith starts blossoming. And there's nothing that'll stop you. You get a revelation on healing, trust me, go lay hands on people. Because nothing's going to stop healing from happening. Right? This is what's key. That's what that verse means. And that comes through our relationship with him. Staying in that place with him. Allowing the Holy Spirit to lead us into that revelation. It's us not just trying to get it from here. It's allowing yielding the Holy Spirit to put it to guide it from here. Right? To bring it out. Let it become revelation where it absolutely transcends all of us. That's what that verse means. And this is how it's effective. We're so trying to figure out, I'll just believe harder. How do you even do that? Right? It's not about believing harder. It's allowing the Holy Spirit to witness truth to what's already there. Right? And that comes through relationship and yielding. Right? And then it becomes blossoms into our lives and it changes everything. Just like that verse did for me. Changed everything. And then all of a sudden, you change the way you see to the perspective of truth. So now when you go and you give a revelation of healing, you don't see that person as someone's cowering under a health problem. You see them whole in the name of Jesus Christ, and you're just speaking what's already there. Changes the way you see, right? And here's the problem. A lot of times we hear a lot of these things, and we're like, well, that's great. I'm going to start going to do that. Get with Holy Spirit. Because he will reveal it to you. We're trying to bypass him too many times. We're trying to do it in our own strength, our own understanding. Trust me, get with Holy Spirit and that's who's going to give it to you. And then you'll walk in power. And then grace and peace will be multiplied in you as well. That's awesome. So I just wrote it real fast. I got like 3 minutes. A couple things that are true about you that you need to know. You are healed. It's done. Right? You're a new creation. Yes. That's done. Amen. Plain and simple. It's already in there. Holy Spirit quickens your flesh. That's a truth. Yes. Get on board. All right? As he is, so are we on this earth. That's who we are. Plain and simple. We're loved completely and unconditionally. That's just the truth. See, you take emotions out of it, right? And you realize this is true regardless of anything else, right? And he will never leave us. That's truth. He will never leave you. Right? Last verse, and we'll finish with this. 2 Corinthians 1:20. This has to be what you believe every day. It has to be. Because there's two things from this. First of all, this is the truth of who we are. This is the truth of what he's done. But it's also the truth of who he is. For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, amen. To the glory of God, how? Through us. We need to be so on board with this so that the world can see the truth of who he is. And God's not going to do it through shouting on a hill. He's going to do it by absolutely loving you unconditionally and showing just how awesome he is through you. He's just going to show you what kind of relationship he has with you, and the world's going to see it and be like, that's what I want. So they know it by the love that we have for one another because we have a relationship with the Father together. And that love is not something you can fake. That's what we have to get more. But if we're not believing in him, and realizing that what we already have, what will happen is we'll be stuck trying to fix ourselves and not realizing we've got a greater calling. He's already got it. He's got that. He's got it taken care of. All you got to do is be with him, get on board, listen to the Holy Spirit, go to the Word, look for the burning bushes, make sure to follow them when you see them. Let revelation become powerful in your life and see yourself walking in victory because you're already victorious. It's that simple. All right, let's pray. Father God, we're just thankful for today. We're thankful for our opportunity to just to be with you. Jesus, we just know you're right here in the midst with us, Lord. We know that. That's not just a good idea. That's just the truth, Lord, that we understand and see, Lord. So we're thankful for your presence here. We're thankful that we can have this intimate relationship with you, Lord. We just want to go deeper in it. Lord, we just all just breathe and just let go of all the ability to try to fix ourselves and just try to transform ourselves. Lord, that is your domain. That's your wheelhouse. So we're going to stay in our lane, which is just being with you, being obedient to you, submitting to you, allowing Holy Spirit to lead us into truth and manifesting you. We're so thankful, Lord, that it's such a powerful moment to just be transformed by your word. And we know, Lord, that we have revelation. It's not something we're just trying to get. It's just, Holy Spirit, you're just going to lead us into from what we already have. I'm so grateful for it, Lord, that I don't have to come begging to you, Lord. I just have to come knowing who you are and what you've already done. So I just speak blessings over everyone here. I speak blessings over the elements we're about to partake. And we just love you. In Jesus' name.